would be an understatement to say that Joan and I are excited about kind of being back home. And we just appreciate your coming, and we especially appreciate the love we've been shown in our time here. I'm going to talk about waiting on the Lord, and I will pray, and then we will take a look at this. Our Father in heaven, your word is pretty clear that we are to wait upon the Lord, and we can renew our strength. And Father, in these days, we could call them tumultuous days, and there are certain things that were certain before that are uncertain now. But one thing is certain, our Savior is Jesus Christ, and you are coming for us. And until then, Father, we praise you and thank you for the life you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 11, verse 3, David asks this question. When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, today I think you'll agree with me that many of the foundations of life are weak and unstable and more sinful than before. Throw in the attack on marriage as being male and female, which we honor, gender change, abortion, euthanasia, choosing to die. And we ask, as David asked, what can the righteous do? There's a song called Lay Your Burdens Down, and it's very precious to me, and it says, trying hard to make it on my own, trying hard to do it all alone. And then the chorus says, lay your burdens down, lay your burdens down, and I praise God that we can do that. So tonight I would like to address that. I'd like us to look at how God wants us to lay our burdens down, and I would ask you to turn to Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Our text is going to be just five verses. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. Now, when chapter 40 was written, Israel was facing a very uncertain future. It's about 700 BC. They were a divided kingdom. The 10 northern tribes called Israel were conquered by the Assyrians, and the two southern tribes called Jacob waited for an attack by Babylon, and it came. So Israel's future looked very uncertain, and God's people felt abandoned by the Lord. So the Lord responded. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. And in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27, the Lord is speaking, and he says, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, that my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Now, Isaiah here is speaking to all the 12 tribes of Israel as they were saying the Lord's not there for them. In other words, they were on their own. It's like the song says, they were trying hard to make it on their own and trying hard to do it all alone. Now, if you look at verse 28, we will see Israel feeling very forsaken, and notice the Lord's surprising response. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. So the Lord is saying here, I am everlasting. I am eternal. I am the Lord. I am sovereign. I am the creator to the ends of the earth. I never become weary or tired, and my understanding is inscrutable. My wisdom is beyond dispute. Now, in this delightfully explosive self-description by the Lord, notice two key words here, weary and tired. Notice the Lord says, he does not become weary or tired ever. Now, why does the Lord say that? Of all his amazing attributes, his love, his holy power, his omniscience, his omnipresence, why does the Lord say he never becomes weary or tired? And the reason is because that was Israel's problem. In their uncertain, scary world, they were weary and tired. Now, here's the difference between being weary and tired. To be weary in the Hebrew is to have fatigue from an ongoing trial. In other words, It's stress that wears us on over time. But to be tired is a more immediate fatigue. In the Hebrews, it literally translates to gasp, to be exhausted from intense pressure. Now, when you and I are weary and tired, like Israel, we can relate to verse 27. In our trials and troubles, we may feel weary and tired. And today, our world has a lot of trials and troubles. So what's the Lord's response? His response is to tell us this. He doesn't have that problem. Our God does not become weary or tired. But the big news is not that our Lord doesn't become weary and tired. The big news is he does not want us, you and me, to get weary and tired either. In fact, look at verse 29. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Now, that's a pretty big statement. Our Lord never grows weary or tired, but he's also saying in verse 29, in the time of trials, he gives strength to the weary and power to those who lack might. Those are two things the world doesn't have. Strength when we're weary and power when we lose might. That belongs to the body of Christ. Bottom line, the Lord is saying that human strength is not enough, but he will give us the strength that we need. Now let's look at verse 30 and 31, which for me is a tremendous challenge and a great promise, and the two most encouraging verses, I believe, in the entire Bible. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a promise of God for you and I. So in verse 28, the Lord's saying he doesn't get weary and tired. But in verse 31, he's saying we can also run and not be weary. We can also walk in the power of God and not faint. In other words, we can mount up with wings as eagles spiritually. But notice verse 31, this strength from the Lord requires one action on our behalf. It is those who wait upon the Lord who gain new strength. Now the words wait upon are one word in the Hebrew, kavah, literally means to be bound together like twisted cords. It can also mean to wait for the Lord, to wait upon the Lord, or on the Lord. But the essential meaning is to be bound to him, seek him, and trust him. Now, according to verse 31, if we wait upon the Lord, he promises three things are going to happen in our lives. But we must wait upon the Lord. Here's the first thing God wants us to have and promises us when we wait upon the Lord. We will receive a new direction. You see, waiting on the Lord means letting him lead our lives as Christians. You know, there's a bumper sticker that I think is so not true. Well-intentioned, but not true, and you've probably seen it. God is my co-pilot. You ever see that? You see a lot of it in the U.S. on a license plate. Well, God is not my co-pilot. God is my God. Now, think about that. God made the air we flew through, the plane we fly on, the pilot who flies the plane, and the fuel in the engines, so God is nobody's co-pilot. That's why the hymn doesn't say, Jesus Savior, co-pilot me. That's not the way it works. It's Jesus, our Savior, pilot me. The truth is, when we wait upon the Lord, we are saying he will lead, he will pilot our lives. Imagine an army where each soldier was to decide where to march, who to fight, and when to fight. That sounds ridiculous. And yet I believe that even as Christians, we can do that a lot. We can choose our career, our spouse, our lifestyle, and our friends, and then ask the Lord to bless the direction we choose for our lives. I don't think that's true here, but I have seen Christians that do that. They choose their career, their spouse, their lifestyle, and their friends, and then they ask the Lord to bless the direction that they have chosen. That's different than following the Lord. The truth is, waiting upon the Lord really means letting him lead our lives as Christians in every respect of our lives. So when we sing, "I surrender all," and we wait upon the Lord, we receive direction in our lives. That's the first thing the Lord promises us. When we wait upon him, he promises a new direction for our lives. On January the 26th, 1975, Joan and I got on our knees. We gave our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't long after that that he took us in directions that we never expected to go. Some we didn't want to go. But the Lord led and our lives became filled in the ministry because of that. Then we come to God's second promise to those who wait upon him. He promises new strength. Verse 31, yet those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength, koach in the Greek, new power. Now notice the strength we gain is new strength. It's a strength we never had before we came to the Lord. So we're going to be able to recognize it because it's a strength that we never had before. It's a strength that the Lord gives to the weary. Listen to 29, verse 29 again. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. So this new strength is not human strength taken to a new level. It's a new strength from the Lord. It's a strength that I never had before I came to Christ. You see, when the Lord says in verse 30, the youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, he's saying the trials in life are greater than human strength. I had to battle that because I basically thought that I could do it by myself. The trials in life are greater than human strength. But we don't need increased strength or a new level of strength. We need, verse 31, a new strength. And just as God's peace passes understanding, just as God's joy is unspeakable, God's strength is a new supernatural strength. Listen to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, a verse that I love to go back and read. Fear thou not, God says, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In other words, we today are being strengthened by the hand of God if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're fearful because of the coronavirus, our health, our finances, or our future, our God will strengthen us, help us, and lift us up with what? His righteous right hand. Now, a critical point. This new strength of verse 31 can either be an enduring strength or a conquering strength. You see, God may choose for us to stay in a trial or a disease, or he may want us to be persecuted for his name. In those cases, if we wait upon him, he will give us an enduring strength so that we grow in the trial. But there are other things the Lord does not want in our lives. Things like anxiety, depression, anger, immorality. In these cases, if we wait upon the Lord, he'll send us conquering strength. If we suffer in those areas, he not only sends us an enduring strength, he'll send us a conquering strength. That's the promise of new strength. Strength to remain in the trials he allows, and strength to conquer things that he doesn't want in our lives. But remember, God won't give us this new strength unless, verse 31, we are waiting upon the Lord, bound to him and seeking him. Here's the third thing the Lord promises those who wait upon him. He promises us new wings. This, I believe, is a wonderful, wonderful verse. Yet those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, that's God's answer when we are weary and tired. In his strength, during those times, we can mount up with wings as eagles. Now, the Lord also says in Exodus 19:4 that then he delivered Israel from Egypt on eagle's wings. So there's a predetermined thing there. It's already happened. He delivered Israel from Egypt on the wings of eagles, the Lord said. Proverbs 23, verse 5 tells us, eagles fly higher than any other bird as they fly toward the heavens. No other bird has ever been called to be able to do that. How about Psalm 103, verse 5? It says, the Lord will renew our strength like an eagle. That's how powerful. That's how powerful the Lord is in our lives. And in Revelation chapter 12, in the tribulation period, the Lord says he will deliver Israel, how? On the wings of an eagle. Now, when I flew over the Rocky Mountains at 35,000 feet, those mountains didn't look very big. But then we drove once through the Rocky Mountains, and I was overwhelmed by their height and their size. They were the same Rockies, but I saw how big they were. That's what happens when we wait upon the Lord. We will mount up with wings as eagles, and we'll get God's perspective on our troubles and on our trials. We will see our trials the way the Lord sees them, and we won't become weary and tired. That's a promise of God to give us these new wings. Then we come to the fourth thing God promises us to those who wait upon the Lord. It's the promise of perseverance. Look at verse 31 one more time. Yet those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Now, this is why in verse 28, the Lord tells us when we wait upon the Lord, he does not become weary or tired. Because in verse 31, the Lord wants us to know if we truly wait upon him, we can run and not get tired, and we can walk and not faint. And that's called perseverance. There were times in my corporate career, especially in the U.S., that I wanted to run ahead of the Lord. I wanted certain things. And in my human weakness, I guess, I got some and I didn't get some. But the one thing I wasn't doing is I wasn't waiting on the Lord. I love the Lord. I serve the Lord. I was preaching in different places. But I wasn't waiting on the Lord, just waiting for him to show me that door opening up that I didn't know about. Now let's look at verse 31 one more time. Yet those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. This is why in verse 28, the Lord tells us when we wait upon the Lord, we won't become weary or tired. Because in verse 31, the Lord wants us to know, as we wait on him, we can run and not get tired. We can walk and not faint. And that's called godly perseverance. Adoniram Judson was a very powerful missionary in Asia. He was imprisoned, and his wife would visit him in prison. And I followed this fairly closely because he was a very powerful man, and he did a lot in that part of Asia. He was imprisoned, and his wife couldn't visit him except from outside. When he came out, he went to her, and she was dying. But her last words to Adoniram Judson were this: hang on, Adoniram. God will give us the victory. That's perseverance. That's never quitting. She had no money. She had no husband. She probably wouldn't have a place to live. But all she could say is, hang on, Adoniram. God will give us the victory. So here's a critical question. Why do some Christians fail to persevere? Joan and I have seen people come to the Lord in the U.S. and in Canada, and we've seen some Christians take off like a rocket and others just go along a little bit and they fade. Why do some run but get tired, walk but become weary? I believe there are three major reasons why some Christians may lack perseverance. Let's look quickly at a very powerful passage in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. 1 and 2, it'll be familiar to you. Here's what God wants us to do. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and a sin which so easily entangles us. And then it says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That basically was a life changer for me, just knowing that there was a race set before me to walk with God and serve him, and we can fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Notice, we are told to run with endurance. That's perseverance. But also notice the reason we may not persevere is because we haven't laid aside other things. In other words, we're spiritually overweight with sin or distraction. Look at verse 1 again. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. That's the first reason why we sometimes lack perseverance. It's when we are spiritually overweight, loaded down with sin or activities that so easily entangle us. In other words, we haven't laid aside the things that slow us down. Joan and I were in Massachusetts when we started up a Bible chapel called Heritage Bible Chapel. And God blessed it, and we grew. But it was kind of surprising how many people who sang beautifully and really believed that they loved the Lord, and I know they did, but when I got to talk to them, I found out that they hadn't laid aside every encumbrance. And that's got to be there. It's got to be out of the way. So that's the first reason we sometimes lack perseverance. We're spiritually overweight, loaded down with sin or activities that so easily entangle us. Here's the second reason we sometimes lack perseverance. It could be that we are running in the wrong race. Notice in verse 1, let us run with endurance the race set before us. See, God has a race he wants you and me to run. They're not the same. They're personal, and they're unique, and they're set before us so we can tell it's him that's calling us. And listen to Psalm 32, verse 8. The Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. We don't have to worry about where we're going if we really lay it before the Lord. And I know that there were times when Joan and I were being transferred around and went to different places. We had to kind of really do that. We had to really seek the Lord so that he could tell us what he wanted us to do in that new environment. God's saying he has a personal race he wants for you and I to run. Now, that's a big reason why some Christians don't persevere, because they're in the wrong race. I knew a young Christian manager, and he was powerful and he was gifted, but every Sunday he raced in a swimming competition, and he was a very gifted. He was one of the young managers that I had designated as somebody who could go quite a bit higher. And then all of a sudden he became depressed to the point of being suicidal with no joy. Why? Because he was in the wrong race. He wasn't running the race set before him by the Lord. He was running the race that he wanted to be on. Finally and quickly, here's the third reason why we as Christians sometimes lack perseverance. It's because we often, including me, run in the wrong direction. Remember verse 2? We are to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is our finish line. We must have our eyes on him. You see, there are three reasons why Christians, as I have discovered in my travels, are weary and tired. Number one, they're spiritually overweight, carrying sin that weighs us down. There have been Christians that I have counseled, and they told me everything they were doing, and they were hurting, but they were doing too much. We have to do exactly what God calls us to. We can't be spiritually overweight. Second, we can be in the wrong race. We can be not running the race set before us, but just a race that we believe God may want. Or number three, we may be going the wrong way, and our eyes are not on the Lord. So in closing, let's look at Isaiah 40:31 one more time. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Notice it doesn't say that those who wait upon the Lord have a good chance at new strength. They could possibly rise up as eagles, and they may even run or not be weary. It says those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles, and they will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. That's a promise of God. And I have seen that in Canada. I've seen that in the United States. Those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength, mount up as wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. If you and I wait for the Lord, become bound together with Him, then choose to seek Him, the first thing He wants us to do is to lay our burdens down before Him. You can't run a race if you got some baggage. And there were times when I had to lay my burdens down before the Lord. And if we do lay our burdens down, here are the promises He makes to us. He promises us a new direction for our lives, because God is no co-pilot. I never really liked that when I heard people say, Jesus is my co-pilot. If that's the case, then I'm the pilot. And I don't think that's appropriate. He's no co-pilot. He's the everlasting sovereign God who promises new strength. Strength to remain in the trials He allows, and strength to conquer things He doesn't want in our lives. And He promises us, each of us, new wings. If we wait for Him, we can and will mount up with wings like eagles. And He promises us a new perseverance. If we wait upon the Lord, we will lay aside the things that make us weary and tired. We will let Him show His direction for our lives, and we'll fix our eyes on Him, and we will lay our burdens down. And it all comes from making one decision, a decision to wait upon the Lord. Our Father in heaven, I'd like to be able to say that I have been completely victorious in every aspect of what I've said tonight, but that would be sin. But I do know it's the goal of my life, Father. I do know that I want to wait upon You, and as I have in the past, I have gained new strength. And Father, for those who are perhaps hurting and have some sorrowful things happening in their lives, sickness or just things that hurt us, Father, we pray that each of us would be able to wait upon the Lord. The moment we wait upon the Lord, the world fades. So help us to wait upon the Lord, Father, and to renew our strength. And it is my prayer that each one of us will mount up wings as eagles, and we will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint, and we'll give You the glory in Jesus' name.